to point out that we're the government that's phasing out coal.
Oh, and he's actually looking at that smug. Oh, dickhead. I don't know what else to call him. I mean, tell him, Glenn, about the coal, man, and what does it mean? By the way, China just built, what, like 10 new coal plants?
For every one that we get rid of here in North America, they build 10, 11. And that's just in China, never mind third world countries who want to come up to speed.
We're a growing country. That's a good thing. Every other...
What do you think she's going to say, growing how? Like, how they go? We growing our debt? What are we growing? What are we growing in this country? Oh, no, we're growing our LGBTQ community.
Speaking about Ukrainian refugees, they're leaving their war-torn country. They're coming here. A lot of them are saying, we're not staying.
They're going back to
Ukraine. We're going back. It's too expensive. What a nutty place to live, this Canada. To the listeners, be prepared, get ready, because the G-Man's blood is boiling.
Something new and strange has happened in Canada.
Canada is sitting on probably one of the largest housing bubbles of all times.
Something we haven't seen before. An entire generation of youth now say they will never be able to afford a home. This is not normal for Canada.
We've got students who are living in their vehicles because they couldn't find a place to live.
Tens of thousands of Canadians could default, Moshe, on their mortgages. And are we looking at that kind of nightmare scenario?
After generations of affordable and stable Canadian home prices, it now takes 66% of the average monthly income to make payments on the average single-detached Canadian house. Given that most of the remaining 34% of the family paycheck is taken up by taxes, there's literally nothing left for food and recreation. And that all assumes that you have enough for a down payment to get the mortgage in the first place. Saving up for that down payment in Toronto now takes an average of 25 years. Not long ago, you paid off a mortgage in that time. So young people must rent, but rent has doubled in the last 8 years. Newlyweds now pay $1,000 per month to rent a single room in a townhouse that they share with two other couples. 35-year-olds live in their parents' basements. Rents are so high in Toronto that students live in homeless shelters. Others sleep in their cars or even under bridges just to afford to go to university. One grandmother posted signs on hydro poles trying to find a place to live. Middle-class people...
Welcome to the show, brothers and sisters, and welcome to Agenda 2030, playing out here directly in Canada, where you own nothing and you love it, and that's the only way of life you know. Thus, 15-minute cities. I don't know how they're going to segue from you not being able to afford a mortgage or rent even, and how are you going to be pigeonholed into the small room? I mean, you all watch all those sci-fi utopia movies, and the people that lived in the sci-fi utopia movies housing, it looked just a little prison-like shack, and where you had like sort of studio set up, and everything's leading to that. Again, predictive programming, or we don't agree with that stuff. Glenn, I know your blood is boiling.
Yeah, I wonder how much they're charging all those people to live in the tent cities, because the cost of having a roof over your head has gone up exponentially with this World Economic Forum, just inflation Trudeau, with his sidekick here, the Miss Christia Cookie Monster Freeland. It's just one horrible shit show after another. And Canadians, we're starting to pay for this. You can talk to the average person. I have a friend of us who trains in the gym with us, and he's a taxi driver. And he, you know, when you want to know what's going on in society, have a conversation with a taxi driver, because he's just the ear for everybody, right? Mm-hmm. And so people get into the cab and they tell them everything, what's wrong, they can't afford anything anymore. Cost of living is up. It's one shit show after another, created by this World Economic Forum puppet over the last 8 years, Mr. Justinflation Trudeau. And when we had Maxime Bernier on the show, which was a great show, by the way, And he said, we don't have a housing problem. We have an immigration problem. Now, we have the most amount of immigration ever being allowed into the country. And this is the ones that we know of. We're supposed to be approaching 40 million people now in Canada. I bet we're a lot over that, because this is just the ones that we know of. What about the people who come in? They say they're going to leave, and they end up not leaving. You know, in the States, they have a big border problem with Mexico. Mexico's south border of Mexico is Guatemala. Guatemalans don't allow Mexicans to come in because they say those people are crazy. But you get in South America, Central America, and many other countries in the world where they're emptying their jails because it costs too much money to keep these prisoners. They give them a ticket, a plane ticket, to fly over to Mexico, and with the idea of infiltrating through the border and coming into United States and through Canada.
Oh, that's how actually a lot of Russians and Ukrainians come in. We're actually going to have a show. I sign up with the guest. We're flying her in from Mexico to comment specifically on that. That's coming in the next 2 weeks.
Speaking about Ukrainian refugees, they're leaving their war-torn country. They're coming here. A lot of them are saying, we're not staying.
They're going back to Ukraine.
We're going back. It's too expensive. What a nutty place to live, this Canada.
Yeah, and this. And by the way, you know, the Ukraine, compare it to Russia in contrast with all the LGBTQ stuff. Even they say here, it's way too excessive here for what it is. Here, this is how I found out about this show. You know, the documentary that Pierre Poilievre released already got some 4 million plus viewers. And the way I found out, I heard the legacy media talking about, you know, the way they discredit this video? They're saying that, well, a lot of this information is correct, but it's not properly sourced. And then they say, like, you shouldn't listen to Pierre Poilievre because he's, you know, he's a pollster, he's a populist, he's more of a documentary maker, he's not a politician. As a matter of fact, he is LeBron James of politicians. He's never done anything but politics. He went straight into politics from his early years, right? I don't think he ever held a job. And that's the biggest argument against, like, his intentions, like what you always say, like, in terms of Justin Trudeau, he never held any kind of position. But Pierre Poilievre sounds, at least he brings the information to the table, where sounds, I don't know, Glenn, did you see Christopher, go ahead.
Freeland, no, yeah. But you know, yeah, we shouldn't listen to Pierre Poilievre. By the way, if there was an election held today, the polls just came out earlier in the week, he would win by a landslide, okay? The Conservatives would win by a landslide. Trudeau's Liberals are actually polling equal with the NDP. So you have the Socialist Party of Canada with the Communist Party of Canada together polling, you know, even if you join them at 20% each, they would not even come close to the Conservatives. You know, champ, I would love to see Pierre Poilievre give an olive branch to Mr. Maxime Bernier and saying, you know what, like the rest of the countries in the world, we want to go more right wing. We want to expose the truth of what's been going on. We believe that the Conservative Party could use a man like Maxime Bernier in the party, you know, and work together towards a common cause that's actually best for Canadians. This is why we like the name Maxime Bernier, the head of, the chief of the People's Party of Canada. Not the globalist parties of Canada. No, for the actual Canadians themselves.
But he may not take it. My sense, he may not take it.
Oh, I'd like to chair that meeting. I would put them together. We would hash out. They would get together.
Okay. So Chrystia Freeland had this to say when she was confronted. It's like, did you see this documentary, and what do you think about it? Here's the video.
I'm wondering, why do you think Mr. Poilievre's housing message is resonating over your government's message? I'm not going to agree with the premise of your question, obviously. But let me just say this. Housing is a key...
Obviously, Glenn, obviously. Like, you know.
Listening to her, you'd think the people watching, the viewers, were all watching Sesame Street and Romper Room. The way she talks, how could you be the finance minister of Canada and talk like you're talking to a bunch of 9-year-old children?
Well, she doesn't, even her voice, even her voices. I mean, I'm not, everybody has a different voice, but even her voice, it's a, I can't respect it.
Issue for Canadians. We get that. And we understand, you know, we talk about the cost of living challenge. Groceries are part of it. But at the end of the day, housing is such a big part of it. If people have a home that they can afford, that is a secure and safe place to live, everything else in their life works. So we completely understand that this is a challenge for Canadians. And our message to Canadians is we are there to speak to the challenge and to act on the challenge.
They created the challenge.
It is a really steep hill for us to climb as a country.
You and created that steep hill.
For us to climb, partly because, as Sean was saying in his opening remarks, you know, this is not a challenge that started yesterday.
It started 8 years ago.
You know, I would wish she would say, okay, we're going to step down so we'll address the problem, because she works better as being one of the organizers in Switzerland every year for the World Economic Forum. She works better at that than she is as the finance minister of Canada, obviously. Her record speaks for itself here.
Well, I'm going back to my original premise. How can they sit like this straight in front of the cameras and billions of people watching her with a straight-faced line?
Lie.
How can you do that?
For decades now, governments in Canada have not been building affordable housing and supporting the building of affordable housing. We are changing that. And the second thing...
Okay, so is it actually a building of affordable housing, or all the laws and all the economic choices that they, you know, they implemented that brought down the inflation and stagnation and all that stuff? Right now, people can't even afford, you know how much is the room to rent in Montreal right now? Average cost of the room, not a house, not a studio, just a room.
Way too much for the average income.
$750.
Yeah.
Right? So like, we're not even talking about like, if you want to rent like a small, tiny two-bedroom apartment somewhere in the new construction, I'm talking about tiny. $2,000 minimum.
You know, we see people living in their tents, but I got to tell you, there's a hell of a lot of people who are living out of their cars. They bought little SUVs and everything, and they're actually living out of the vehicles.
Because
when I'm watching Rambo the Rottweiler, when we go for a walk together, you see people, you know, living in their car, waking up in the morning and driving away, driving to work, you know, getting a little bit dressed up. It's ridiculous what's going on. Just to give things into a little bit of perspective, in 1972, Canada's population was roughly 18, 19 million people. 50 years later, in 2022, it's almost double. In 1972, that one year, they built 230,000 new homes. Last year, with the population double, they built 220,000 new homes. So you have doubling of the population and not even the same amount of homes being built every year at a time where immigration's at its peak right now. It's the highest it's ever been.
And this is what she says about immigration. Listen.
Yes. And this, as finance minister, I see as a huge advantage for Canada. We're a growing country. That's a good thing. Every other...
What do you think she's going to say? Growing how? Like how they go? We growing our debt? What are we growing? What are we growing in this country? Oh, no, we're growing our LGBTQ community. Oh, it's not actually, it's 2SL plus LGBTQXYZ community. That's what we're growing.
They're wealthy, industrialized nation in the world. When they look at their economy, one of the first problems they see is a demographic challenge. Because Canada is one of the few countries that is open to immigration, that is less of a challenge.
Certain
for
type
us.
Of immigration. That's-
Okay, brother.
Like
sister.
You just said it.
Yeah.
LGBTQ, it's very open to that because in many countries, that's not allowed or it's frowned upon or the people, they got to stay in the closet. And then they find out what's going on here in Canada. Oh, there's a big mad rush to get over here. This is the reason in the city of Montreal last year, the HIV people went up 130% in 1 year. A 130% increase in the number of people diagnosed with HIV in Montreal in 1 year. Why? Well, because we're opening our arms to the people of a certain community, which obviously are going to be more susceptible to catching HIV. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out. And you know what? It takes a man to tell the truth.
And also in that community, I mean, I work in a gay village. There's... It's not just, you know, I'm not looking at the gays. I'm looking at the, you know, addicts, drug addicts, heroin, you know, that's needles
go hand in hand.
Goes hand in hand for some reason.
Needle in hand.
Let's keep watching.
That's a great thing, but a growing country needs to build more homes. And that's why we have policies that are about supply, supply, supply. And we have been going at it aggressively. You know, let's look at what we've done just this fall alone. Lifting the GST on purpose-built rental, which, by the way, the conservative...
Okay, so she's not mentioning the carbon tax, right, that affects everybody. She's not mentioning... the increase cost, like you can no longer like bring a Mexican from Mexico for 6 months to build a house. You can't even afford them because there's not enough to spare it then. And the idea is she's banking on immigration. Like Maxime said, we don't have a housing problem. We have immigration problem, embedded immigration problem. Well, let's say, we're not talking about Ukrainians. Let's say we're not talking about Middle East. Let's talk about Chinese. Who comes here from China? Wealthy people. There's a lot of millionaires per capita in China, right?
Yeah, Vancouver, right, is the money laundering capital of North America.
They'll come and they'll buy up all the real estate properties with hundreds of thousands of dollars, sometimes over the top, over the asking price. And then they'll sit on it, they live in it, and or they rent it out and everything else. They don't really need to... sell it or do anything with it, but the Canadians cannot afford to buy houses at those prices.
No, the cost of living has went up. They devalued the currency that quickly that the cost of living is going up way too quick. And you know, you have the government, the public sector, who are unionized, big one here in the province of Quebec, 470,000. The government wants to give them a settlement for the increase in salaries. And it won't even keep up to the projected cost of living index over the next 5 years. Plus, when you do, let's say if you did keep up with the cost of living, you got 18% roughly over the next 5 years. And we know it's going to be more than that, by the way. So let's say they even got 18%. It's going to bump them up into a higher tax bracket, and they're going to have less money to buy the things that they need. I mean, no matter which way you look at it, the public is being squeezed, and these people lie right to your face about it. And meanwhile, they're running off with your money. Like, for example, you have so many Canadians, they can't even afford a shelter over their head, living in tents, living in their vehicles, but they have enough money to send $9.5 billion over to Ukraine, one of the most corrupt countries in the world, who launders that money and send it over to the globalists to find a way to infiltrate and send it over to the globalists and clean it. And then these people are all part of that. And then they've done a good job at conning the people, indebting the people. And so then they get cushy jobs after they're out of Canadian politics. What they should be is tarred and feathered and brought and peeped walked in front of everybody to show them, look, these are who are the people you voted for because you're unaware that they work for somebody else. They don't work for the Canadian people. Actually, we're paying them to harm the Canadian people to enrich the globalists.
Well, it's a good example. And $9.5 billion is a large amount of money. But if you go and look at all of other donations that Canada contributes to the rest of the world for whatever reasons, like example, just a few months ago, they donated $90 million to a Caribbean wax equity fund, make sure that everybody gets the vaccine and stuff like this, and LGBTQ awareness in the same style. I mean, $90 million is a lot less than $9.5 billion, but all those little amounts that add up, they add up to another sum, like where we could keep it here. Like we're here, we cannot help anybody unless we can help ourselves. Right. And if Canada is not self-sustainable and we are not rich in ourselves, then we're not help. We're not in a position to help anybody else. Help yourself first. And right now, Canada needs to help itself first, but not with those people in charge. I mean, she's a crackhead, and I'll show you the video in a second, and you guys all seen this, but let's keep...
And being controlled by a puppet government like this and creating inflation that we've probably haven't seen since the 1970s, just in the last year, bankruptcies in Canada have increased anywhere between 34 and 37%. That's so far in 2023 compared to 2022. What's 2024 going to look like? 60% of the restaurants in Canada are cash flowing negative. They're losing money just providing their service and their food.
And that's not just restaurants. A lot of businesses are doing that.
Conservatives are opposed to doing, astonishingly. That is a measure which alone will build 200,000 to 300,000 more homes. The Housing Accelerator Fund, which is now, you know, going into action at municipalities across the country, we think we're up to 100,000 more homes through that fund alone. $15 billion more to finance the construction of apartments. That also, 100,000 more homes. And
But also, she's not saying what kind of homes, what kind of apartments. What if they just the size, like, you know, 2x2? I don't know. Like, you have no idea what they're really funding with this. And that's another form of laundering money here in Canada for some reason.
Plus, she's not telling us the truth on what communities are getting the funding for these lower income buildings, for the housing units. It's overwhelming majority is going into, believe it or not, NDP communities. Why? Well, because these are extreme socialism, so these are the people who need all the money. So the right-wingers, the conservatives, the people who work and build the economy, they're the ones who have to pay for all this. And so it's siphoned from the people who work and want to get ahead and are having a hard time. And it's given to the people who vote in the branches of government that are going to give them the most amount of stuff for free. Hence, there you have the extreme socialist communities controlled by the NDP, which is basically a communist party, supported together with the Liberal Party of Canada, which is used to be a centrist party, but now has gone extreme left-wing, woke liberalist. And this is the reason why Canada is falling. This is the reason why in all the other countries in the world that have elections, as the elections come due, they vote out the incumbents and they put in the right, the extreme rights, or the libertarian, because now they're voting for change for the better.
And here's what they vote for. By the way, we didn't vote for her.
Freeland discussed or mentioned the shared priorities governments have. I'm wondering, would you describe a carbon tax exemption on natural gas for Manitoba
as one
of your priorities?
Nervous service.
I think our priority today is to get share the news with Manitobans that your federal government, your provincial government are working together.
Is that a nervous disorder or is it drugs?
I think Manitobans in every region want to see the people
to
elected office work together to improve things like healthcare.
It's not the first time you've seen this video, and there's plenty of videos of her like this, brothers and sisters, her twitching, and I don't even know what you call that. But this is not the person in charge. Okay, if it's a disorder, if it's a mental disorder, if it's some kind of physical disorder, I'm not making fun of her.
I think Canadians have the mental disorder. We're the ones who voted for this government. These are your people who are responsible. She's the Minister of Finance. She's the one who deals with the Canada Central Bank and says, hey, Canadians need a little bit of leeway here. But no. Let's sell them out. And maybe she's a little bit tired. Maybe she took something as a little upper to give herself some more energy because, you know, she's working really hard at ruining Canada's financial situation.
Well, provinces are pushing back. Did you see that? Well, first of all, Poilievre is very vocal about it, and you've seen the video that he released. But also the provinces, like Alberta and Saskatchewan, are pushing. The thing she's not saying, partially why everything's so expensive, groceries and housing and also this crazy carbon tax that they added on.
That's Putin's fault.
Yeah, it's Putin's. By the way, it's exactly what Justin Trudeau said. It's the MAGA influence from the South. And if you believe into that, you're also susceptible to Putin's propaganda.
Trump's fault.
Yeah, and also, you know, because Alex Asho, I'm of Russian origin, I'm definitely a Russian bot of some sort, according to him, not according to me. Now, the provinces are pushing back. They're saying they're not, I don't have that video in front of me, but you know, the Justin has been asked the question, like, how do you feel about Alberta and Saskatchewan saying they're not going to participate in all this carbon tax garbage? And he's like, well, we're the country of law, and law needs to be respected and all this other stuff. And here's, you know, we have some videos regarding that. First of all, do you know that Justin Trudeau claims he's going to save Christmas? Does he even believe in God? I mean, Christmas is a religious holiday, right? So I mean, it is also a secular holiday in terms of gifts giving and malls and shopping and sales and all that stuff. But here, let's watch this video.
Leader of the opposition.
Let me be the first of the season to wish everybody a Merry Christmas.
What a beautiful celebration Christmas is.
Including Christmas, Mr. Speaker. But unfortunately, after 8 years, this Prime Minister promises nothing but a carbon-taxed lump of coal for Canadians. Will he get off the backs of Canadians so that they can enjoy beautiful gifts, maybe even a turkey and a warm meal around the Christmas table this season?
That'd be nice.
He just pissed off all the vegans. Turkey? Gobble, gobble.
Speaker, I'm pleased to point out that we're the government that's phasing out coal.
Oh, and he's actually, look at it. Look at that smug dickhead. I don't know what else to call him. I mean, tell him, Glenn, about the coal, man, and what does it mean? By the way, China just built, what, like 10 new coal plants?
For every one that we get rid of here in North America, they build 10, 11. And that's just in China, never mind third world countries who want to come up to speed. Newsflash, coal is the number one producer of electricity in the world. It makes 35% of all electricity produced in the world. So you go and you hammer the coal here. Okay, you do your job over here. Meanwhile, whatever you knock down one notch here, the rest of the world brings it up 20, 30, 40, 50 times.
Exactly.
Mr. Speaker, over the opposition of the Leader of the Opposition, we're going to continue to build a better and brighter future for all Canadians.
Yeah. People who still vote or still, like, I don't know, the liberal media, because, okay, it doesn't matter if it's legacy media, whatever, all the liberal media, they still somehow upload to this guy, even though we know the Liberal Party is done for. They still somehow showing the support for this guy. How can you show support after him making those statements? It's ridiculous. Is it cognitive? That's my question. Is it cognitive dissonance? Is it willful ignorance? Or is it just straight up evil?
Or is it an exposure to the waking up the Canadian population to the awareness about their real democracy and how it's been controlled through the mainstream legacy media, their perception of reality? So the media controls how they think about a potential person that they want to run the government. Oh, he would be good for Canada. We've had 8 years of this guy here ruining the country, and he's talking about how he's going to make the future for Canadians bright
better.
And
yeah.
Good. Yeah, really?
Well, that's what I mean. The quality of life went just crashed dramatically in 8 years. But it's like, oh, look at us. We're building the better future. Well, the past 3 years, you just killed the country altogether.
Wait till after the Christmas holidays. January, February, and March. Watch the layoffs that start in Canada. Already started, but they've managed to keep it a little bit quiet. Even the CBC, that's paid for, bought for by the Liberal government, taking money from the constituents, mm-hmm. from us, and even when they can't balance their budgets, they print more money and it creates inflation on us, which is a hidden tax. Bought and paid for CBC. They're laying off 600 people. And to balance their budget, or to try, because they have a budget shortfall, so they have to lay off 600 people to ensure that their executives still get their bonuses.
Okay.
And that includes fighting against climate change so we can ensure that we keep a stronger future for Canadian children to be able to go sledding, but also so that we can make sure that they have better jobs.
How can they go sledding in 15-minute cities if you, like, let's say if you live in Montreal? Okay, maybe you can make it to Mount Royal somehow, but you won't be able to make it to, what about them, Saint-Sever and Laurentians, because it's outside of your 15-minute city community. So no, you are killing the children's future.
Yeah, go sledding into the emergency rooms.
Of the Conservative Party of Canada is putting future white Christmases at risk, and that's why on this side of the house we stand for Christmas.
What?
Boy. Well, if I would have went to that show, I would have booed him and throw a couple shoes at him. I don't know, or rotten apples. This was some horrible performing on. And look at that smug face. And again, I don't know how he can stand there with a straight face. And does he even? Does he believe in his own bullshit at this point? He's been a narcissist for so long that he no longer has to pretend. He's a sociopath. He no longer has to pretend. But people are pushing back. And when people call him out on the lie, they're being reprimanded. Glenn, did you see this?
The Honorable Member for Battle River Crowfoot.
Mr. Speaker, I know for a fact that farmers are asking that minister to axe the carbon tax. That PM promised that the Senate would be independent, but the action.
So this is Damien Couric. He's Battle River Crawford, Alberta representative in the House.
This past week proved that is a complete farce. We know he bullied his senators. The PM himself was on the phone over the weekend telling them they had to gut Bill C-234. The Prime Minister lied, and his minions continue to lie about
it. Ooh, using big words in the House here. He lied. You're not allowed to say that.
By the way, who's the speaker?
Interim speaker.
He's like a deputy speaker. Chris, because what happened to the actual speaker, the black fellow?
He's supposed to be impartial, but the lad, he went to some type of
pro-provincial
liberal thing. Wearing his garb, by the way. Showing his colors.
Order. The honorable member who got here at the same time I did knows full well that you can't use that word. Yeah. I would say the honorable member should retract that.
What word is he talking about?
He's about to track the word lying, accusing somebody of lying. I would retract it. I said, no, he's bullshitting.
Apologize. The honorable member of Battle River Crowfoot.
Mr. Speaker,
so when you call out Prime Minister on the fact that he is lying, you are again dismissed from the House.
How many scandals does this guy, this Prime Minister, have to be involved with? How many lies, conspiracy problems he's involved with, money-making, little agendas sneaking out before Canadians say, no, we're going to unite together, take a little walk down to the Parliament building, and throw him out of the sixth-floor window?
Uh-oh. This is opinion of Glenn Herring alone. That's not Alex Sasho. No, the truth is, there's no democracy in Canada, because if there was, then if you call in somebody on the lie and you call him a liar, regardless of circumstances, this is not hate speech. This is you're not attacking anybody. You're not threatening anybody. This is straight up just using it's a conversation, specifically pointing out the fact that he is misleading the populace.
Yeah, and don't call him a liar directly, but you're allowed to say, I think he's a liar.
Yeah.
You're not dealing with it straight face to face, like trying to say he's a liar, but I think he's
lying. So the guy gets kicked out.
Asking the honorable member to apologize for the second time and retract that word.
Restrikes in your own.
The honorable member knows full well you cannot use that word in this chamber.
So this is the last opportunity. The Honourable Member of Battle River Crowfoot, will you be retracting that?
It's the truth. It's the truth. I will not apologize to the Prime Minister, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Couric, would you mind leaving us today?
My question is, if he doesn't, what happens?
I don't know, but I'd be out. I'd already be eating my steak dinner.
He's doing his job. Like, okay, kick me out. I'm going to go.
Telling the truth. Filet mignon for the G-man.
Glenn, what's the outlook for the economy? What is the solution? We know it's not the immigration, because we just showed the video of Christian Freeland boasting like, oh, we're the growing country. We're the only growing country. No, you're breeding immigration by the dwarf, and we actually have to pay for immigration because we have to house them. So all those houses that you build, we got to put the immigrants in, not the Canadians. So it's not actually solves anything. And also the immigration that you bring in, it's not the skilled immigration that we need here, particularly. Matter of fact, because of Canada Central connection that we have here, we're aware of what Canada is bringing in terms of Canada. They bring in like blue-collar jobs. They bring in truckers. They bring in factory workers and all this other stuff, because a lot of them will come strictly for work and then eventually they leave because they come in here to live in squalor. They face it. You know, we know situations where like 10 people from Middle East or 10 people from Philippines will come and work as truck drivers for 10 years, but they live like 10 people to a house because that's the only way they can afford to do so. And they work day and night and they'll make a little bit. And then guess what? They go back to Philippines.
Well, yeah, or, you know, champ, it's always great to increase your population during an increasing economy. But if you look at Canada's GDP, their gross domestic product, in other words, the profit productivity of a country, and you divide that by the number of the population, number of inhabitants in Canada, your GDP per capita is actually going down, and it's already in a horrible position. So I don't know what this government is trying to say. Oh, my. Yeah, you just brought up sweetheart here. I don't. Look at that. He looks like a Christmas elf. But I don't know what they're trying to say, what they're trying to cover up. But Canada is going through an economic malaise that's going to last for a long time. And we're just on the way down. We haven't hit the trough yet.
Do you think Canada's going to care about LGBTQ and pronouns issues and all that other stuff and trans issues in January of the next year, which is just a few weeks from now?
2024 is going to be something. We're going to have real problems, not imaginary problems. You know, people are not going to be offended by little stupidities because they're just going to have a hard time getting along in the reality, the real economy. You know, and trying to do what's best for themselves and their family in a real rough scenario. Here in the West, we're not used to this. We're not used to adversity. We look around the rest of the world, and we've been lucky to see, oh, those poor people, they've had it rough. Yeah, that roughness is coming here. And now we're going to see how they're going to respond to it. You see, champ, you learn a lot about a man's character during tough times. During easy times, everybody blends in. They conceal. Everything is great. Everything's easy. But when things get rough, watch the characters. You're going to see men folding like cheap suits everywhere.
So Canada being destroyed intentionally, we agree on that here. There's no splitting hairs. And a lot of people are actually aware now that the West is being destroyed and this is some kind of power shift and the financial shift or different financial sector. I don't know where it's going. Maybe Russia, maybe anything else. I don't know. Because Russia actually is $75 billion in surplus with its economy. The most sanctioned makes no sense at all. The most sanctioned country in the world currently, historically as well, and it's making surplus in its economy in terms of GDP. And now people,
no debt,
zero debt, actually making money. And here in Canada, we're in the toilet.
And what are they doing with this money? They're converting their rubles into
gold.
That's right.
Question to you. And okay, I'm not a betting man. I don't bet. I don't gamble. If you had to gamble and you had to bet, When is Justin Trudeau steps down, like Ardern says, oh, I need to go take care of my gay partner or whatever he's going to choose as an example. You know, I just met my lover and whatever, and I have to spend more time with him. Or, you know, he gets removed by force by his Liberal Party. When do you think the timeline? I would say February.
I would say it's coming soon. It won't be, the election is supposed to be in 2025. There's no way that this party is going to last until then. Canadians are fed up with him. And to actually, if the NDP were to separate from the agreement that they have, that would trigger an election right away and it would be all over. So obviously, he's going to want to stay in as long as possible. But Canadians, the longer this group stays in, the rougher it's going to be for Canadians. You think it's rough now? Wait. If you allow this guy to stay in longer, you're going to see rough.
Okay, so the second bet, who if he gets, he's going to step down or he's going to be replaced by somebody, because Liberals would want to stay in power to continue to promote the Agenda 2030, right? According to the World Economic Forum directions, you know, to the overlords. So if he steps down, if he's being removed, etc., who is going to replace him from the Liberal Party? Is there even such person?
Like what's to replace him directly? I think the whole Liberal Party, the whole political system in Canada might have to be revamped and create a government or people running for government that would actually work for the people who were paying them and not work for the globalists who use the mainstream media to control your perception that they're working for you.
So, brothers and sisters, there's hope for all of us, because if we recognize this here at Alex Sass Show and we are able to discern the people, you know, who's supposed to have a social contract or actually a political obligation to their constituency and not being a sellout to the, by the way, they don't even deny it. If you listen to legacy media, they say, oh, the target goals of carbon tax initiative are 2030 and 2050, whatever it is. And that's exactly the agenda's 2030 agenda. Look it up. If you don't know what the 2030 agenda, look it up. It'll come up. Put in Montreal, for example, Agenda 2030, and you'll see exactly what the projects associated with it. Or you can put Canada Agenda 2030, and you'll see that. However, because we are aware of this, we are fixing it. We are rejecting it. We are making different choices. And the choices that you're going to make different are going to start at your house. Actually, it's going to start with you. What choice did you make today? Did you wake up this morning with a smile, with a meditation? Did you have a good breakfast? Did you hug your family? Did you go to work? Did you exercise? Did you read your Bible? Did you go to church? Whatever your disciplines are, address it with you and then pass it on to your family so you have a strong family unit, because the strong family unit is the foundation, is the brick of a strong society. We need that. We need strong families that comprise the strong society here in Canada. There are no men. There are no families right now in Canada. We have a feminism problem. We have LGBTQ problem. And again, if you're gay and that's your choice, that's not a problem with us. But if that's the agenda you're promoting and you don't promote strong families, you are destroying the society. So good luck with that, Justin Trudeau, because just like Ardern, and I don't know if she's even still around. I haven't seen her in a while. Good luck with that, Justin. Your wife has already left you and moved on to better things rather quickly. I pray that your children turn out to be okay and they have strong families and help us rebuild the society, because they see this from within. Glenn, any closing words before the close of the show?
Yeah, G-Man wants to say, personally, I don't believe we have an LGBTQ problem or we don't have a feminist problem. What we have is a lack of masculinity problem. All that stuff would find its place where it's supposed to be if men were to be men. Now, you know, the G-Man is an optimistic realist, believe it or not. And, you know, the show seems to be a little bit negative about the realities because, hey, you don't like what you see, right? You can't take the truth. It's better to know the truth, deal with it. Now, the optimistic side of me knows that in 5 years from now, after we go through a little bit of hell, but 5 years from now, Canadians will be better off than they are today. Goodbye, Justin. Take care, brother.
And that's a good way to show close the show. Thank you, brothers and sisters. We'll see you in the next one.
Glenn, we make a community worse for everyone.